Let's open our Bibles then to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the restoration of Simon Peter. Let's start reading in verse number 15 this morning. John chapter 21 and verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So we have this threefold challenge here. And this morning we want to see that this threefold challenge is an answer to a threefold pronouncement of peace upon these disciples. And that's a wonderful thing to see. But before we go to that point, in John chapter 17, there's another thing here that doesn't come out in our English version. And I did check the American Standard and the Revised Standard, and it doesn't come out there either. And that's the changes in the Greek words that are used for certain things in the three verses that we're looking at. And we know that in the first verse 15, when Jesus says, Feed my lambs, the word there in the Greek means feed my young lambs, feed my young sheep. And then in verse number 16, when he says, Feed my sheep, it has the idea of leading and guiding the flock. And then we come down to verse number 17, where it has the meaning, once again, same Greek word as was used in verse number 15. It's, once again, feed my lambs. It's translated sheep here, and that's fine because the word works either way in the Greek. And so, what does that tell us? Now, since the Lord Jesus is restoring Peter to his place of apostleship, and he has groomed these disciples now to take the gospel to the Jewish people. After he rises from the dead, these disciples are to take the message of the gospel and preach it to the Jewish people. And so they have to know what the message is. And it's contained here, and we're going to see in a moment that John, who is a bystander here, if you will, he hears what's going on here and has an understanding of it, and he has something to say in one of his epistles, which we'll look at in a moment. And so, let's take the lovest thou me here in verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And we talked about the fact that when Jesus speaks in verse number 15, he uses for lovest the word agapao, which is the strongest form of love. And then in the second time in verse number 16, he uses the same word. But when we get to the third time here, the Lord Jesus uses the word phileo, which is the same word that Peter answers him in all three verses. Well, that's pretty instructive if we stop and think about it, because we'll remember that in verse number 15, the first challenge, Jesus is saying comparatively, compared to these other disciples, do you love me more than they do? He answers, phileo, I have affection for you. And then in verse number 16, the second time, the Lord Jesus again says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you have any love for me at all? He drops the comparison and asks Peter the question, do you have any love for me at all? And he uses agapao here. And Peter answers, phileo. Peter has learned now to throw himself on the omniscience of the Lord Jesus. What Peter is doing here actually is recognizing the deity of Christ. Rather than to make some self-pronouncement, yes, of course, I love you, he throws himself on the deity of Christ. You know that I love you, which indeed he does know. But in verse number 17 now, this is the third time, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now this time the Lord uses the word phileo, which means do you have any affection at all? Not do you love me deeply, but do you even have any affection for me at all? And Peter gives the same answer here, throwing himself once again on the deity of Christ. Lord, you know that I love you. And each of these times, because Peter, of course, is standing now in need of forgiveness for his denial of Christ, he is hesitant to use the word agapao. He doesn't even use that. He just uses the word phileo here. And so Jesus probes a little bit deeper with each of these questions. First, it's comparatively, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Second of all, do you have any deep-seated love for me at all? And then finally, thirdly, do you have any affection for me at all? Using the weaker term by the Lord Jesus. Well, what do we learn from this? We learn that now Peter, instead of being proud and boastful and forward as he's been up to this point, he now understands that without the Lord Jesus, he is nothing. And instead of making any pronouncements on his own, he just simply says, you're Jehovah God. You know everything. You know that I love you. And that's what he finally says in verse number 17. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Kurios, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. He's ascribing omniscience to the Lord Jesus Christ, a characteristic, of course, of Jehovah God. And so now Peter has finally been brought to the place where he can be useful to the Lord Jesus as an apostle, as a sent one, because he'll be worthless if he goes out and tries to preach the gospel in his own power, as all preachers are. Anyone that gets into the pulpit and decides to preach a message in their own power, that message might sound eloquent, but it won't have any spiritual hold on the hearers at all. It has to be the Holy Spirit that brings these things to the hearer's mind. And so back now to this business of feed my sheep. He uses the word bosko in the first and last challenge in verse number 15 and verse number 17. And then he uses the word for leadership in verse number 16. What could that mean? What is the Lord Jesus Christ attempting to convey to Peter? Well, first of all, there's an answer, as I pointed out when we began the message here, that there's a threefold pronouncement of peace unto the disciples. And this is what Peter is having a problem with. He has no peace. He's denied the Lord three times. And so now, the Lord Jesus, after he has risen from the dead and just before he's to ascend into heaven, Peter still has this cloud over his head of that denial of the Lord Jesus, which has yet to be dealt with. Well, it's being dealt with here. He has a need of peace in his heart. And so do the rest of the disciples. So let's look at that just for a moment. In verse number 15, once again, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." Let's hold our finger here and turn to John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Can you imagine now? Peter is under the spotlight here. The Lord is addressing him, and he knows very well why. And so he has no peace in his heart. He throws himself on the omniscience of God here. But in John chapter 20 and verse number 19, we see this. "Then being the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, when we ran into this in the exegesis here of the 20th chapter, we pointed out the fact that these disciples needed this message. They needed peace. And why did they need peace? Well, they're telling us right here in verse number 19, the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. They have fear of being hunted down and executed as the Lord Jesus was hunted down and went to the cross. They have great fear in their hearts. And so rather than excoriating them for their faithfulness, or faithlessness, I should say, the Lord Jesus instead says, "Peace be unto you." The very first words that he speaks to them after he's risen from the dead, and it's a message that they mightily need. That comports itself to the Lord Jesus telling Peter, "Feed my lambs." The idea there is those that are young in the faith. The first thing that a new convert needs is what? What's the very first thing that a new convert really needs? He needs to understand that he's a born-again believer, and he's completely out of the reach of Satan, all of the enemies. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ who has conquered death. John was standing by when he gave up the ghost. The others forsook him and fled, but they knew very well what the end result of the crucifixion would be. And now they see him risen in power, standing before them. This gives them peace in their hearts, because as the Lord Jesus has overcome death, they understand that they too will overcome death through his shed blood. And so this is the first message that they needed. They're very disquieted now. And we know that their minds have been on everything except redemption since the Lord Jesus has called them. they still had in their minds that the Lord Jesus was the triumphant Messiah from the Old Testament who was going to make Israel the head of the nations once again. And we see that they really hadn't gotten past that when the Lord Jesus ascends into heaven, the last question that they ask him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're focused on that. And because they're focused on that, they have no peace concerning the fact that the Lord Jesus has been put to death, and they know that. And they think that they are next in line. They think that the Lord Jesus has failed. The disciples on the road to Emmaus show us that very thing. We trusted that it would have been him that came to set Israel at the head of the nations, is the gist of what they're saying. But he's been crucified. Well, they got out of Dodge. They're on the way to Emmaus. They need this message. You can have peace because you have overcome death through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that they get here. Peace be unto you. The very first thing that the Lord Jesus says to them. And this is the message that now fortifies them. They're no longer afraid of the Jews. And when we're going to see that they get together once again when Thomas finally is present, which we'll speak of more in just a moment, they're not afraid of the Jews anymore. They don't have the doors barred. They've come to understand that in the Lord Jesus Christ they've overcome death and they have peace with God. That's what a new believer needs to know first, before anything else. And then back to our text for this morning. And in verse number 16, Jesus, going on with Peter here, he saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And here, once again, the Greek word is to lead the flock, provide leadership for them. And so that can comport itself to John chapter 20, if we want to turn back there once again. John chapter 20 and verse number 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So what's he telling the disciples? Here, they are to be sent forth to preach this message of redemption, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is both the Passover and the Day of Atonement. This is the message that they are to preach to Israel, and they are to provide leadership in that. And later on, we're going to see when we get into the book of Acts that that's just what Peter and James and John begin to do. So the Lord Jesus says, Feed my sheep, lead my flock. Well, how are they to do that? Is it through the exercise of their own will? Through their own strength? Can they make an appeal to the house of Israel? No, they cannot. That's why we have verse number 22 immediately after verse number 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Here's authority and leadership, but it's by the Holy Spirit, not through their own efforts. And that's what Peter is having to learn here in John chapter 21. But we're going to find out that the rest of the disciples, at least the seven that were present here, they're listening to this too. They're learning these things as well. So here we have feed my sheep. Well, let's go to John chapter 10 and verse number 1. John chapter 10. Just to underscore what we've said to this point. John chapter 10 and verse number 1. The Lord Jesus now, once again, teaching his disciples. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The Lord Jesus is the chief shepherd. And how do the disciples know his voice? By the Holy Spirit. And so, once again, this fact is underscored again that their leadership is not in their own strength or power, but by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the first thing a new convert needs to know is that he is redeemed, that he is saved, that he has everlasting life in Jesus Christ. But then the second thing that he needs to know is that he has a faithful shepherd who will lead him through all the vicissitudes of life and will bring forth such ministry as he's given them gifts to perform. And it's all by the Holy Spirit. So they need to know that too. But we're not finished yet, because it was a threefold peace be unto you. So let's go back to our text for this morning. John chapter 21, and this time verse number 17. Back to the Lord dealing with Peter in his restoration. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And once again here, this feed is the same word that is used in verse number 16. And when he says, Feed my sheep, there's something to that as well. Let's go back to John chapter 20 and verse number 26 this time. Now, Peter's going to be here, so he's going to actually see this scene. And this has to do with the restoration of an errant disciple. So in verse number 26, we read, And after 8 days, again his disciples were within. Notice the doors aren't barred anymore. And Thomas with them. Thomas is now present. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. The third time that he's pronounced peace unto the disciples. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord And my God, the most powerful testimony to the deity and power of Christ. Here's an errant disciple. He's already made his boast. Well, I just won't believe that he's risen from the dead. The rest of you disciples are mistaken. And I won't believe unless I can put my finger into the nail prints or thrust my hand into his side. And the Lord challenges him to do just that. This is why he's sometimes called Doubting Thomas. But that's a very bad name for Thomas, because he gives the most powerful attestation to the risen Christ that has been uttered to this point in verse number 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And it's interesting that Thomas is one of those that is gathered by the Sea of Gennesaret when the Lord Jesus now appears to deal with Simon Peter. So, back once again then to chapter 21 and verse number 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. We want to pay attention to that word. Peter was grieved because the Lord had said unto him, Lovest thou me? That ties together with something that happened when Peter was actually in the process of denying the Lord. And we want to look at that next. The idea of the threefold question of the Lord Jesus and the threefold repetition of peace be unto you. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 then. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. So now the Lord Jesus has been arrested by a consortium of the temple guard and the Roman soldiers. They've marched him off to the house of Annas and then later to Caiaphas. Caiaphas being the high priest that year, the disciples having followed the Lord Jesus, Peter afar off, they now come to the high priest's house. And we learn that John is known to the high priest. So he gets immediate entry into the high priest's house, no questions asked. We're not told what the connection is here, but there obviously is a connection. So Peter now is being brought along with John. They get into the high priest's house, and they're sitting, and Peter is now accosted by a young lady that comes to him saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. So here's his first denial, and notice that it's public. Everybody that's there hears his denial. This is not a secret thing. This is an open and public thing. And, of course, that's why the Lord Jesus deals with Peter in John chapter 21 openly and in front of the disciples. As he's denied openly, he will be dealt with openly. And so here's the first denial. And then in verse number 71, And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And so we find out then the cock crows, but the Lord Jesus now, being denied by Peter, he doesn't leave it there, but he continues on in verse number 73, And after a while came unto him they that stood by, said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. So we find out that somebody approaches Peter and says, You're not one of us, you're from out of town someplace, and so is Jesus. And so therefore there has to be an association between you and the Lord Jesus, because your speech betrays thee, your accent. And then in verse number 74, he begins to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. So here's a threefold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to make matters worse, in verse number 74, Peter now begins to deny the Lord by cursing and swearing. He's using profanity, and we're not told, because this word to swear can mean a number of different things, but it's very likely that he swore by God that he didn't know. Because remember where he is. He's in the high priest's palace. So throwing that out there would maybe convince them of the fact. Well, we don't know how he swore or what he swore by, but we know that immediately the cock crew. Uh-oh. Verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. That word bitterly there means sharply, like being poked with a sharp object. It's very painful, and it leaves a bitter taste in the mouth. The Greek word there means all of these things. So isn't just some trite thing, like Judas repenting himself, or Esau repenting himself. No, this is a heartfelt thing, and it's a very deep emotional thing for Peter, but the deed is done. We'll find the same thing in Luke chapter 22, if you want to look at that. Luke chapter 22. Here's Luke's account. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Well, here's a little bit of difference here between these two synoptic gospels. Here we learn that Peter followed afar off. He's making his first mistake here, where John very boldly goes right with the Lord Jesus right into the high priest's house. Peter is dawdling along behind. Verse 55, And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, they're in the very high priest's house now, and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow also was with him, because he's a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So we see here in Luke's account, we're given some additional information as to how this thing happened. Excuse me. One of the things that is known here is that the high priest's servant, who Peter has separated from his ear, is doubtless in this crowd. And his relatives are doubtless in this crowd. Peter is busted, to use modern parlance. But because he's afraid of the high priest, because he's afraid of what might happen to himself, he denies the Lord. And the additional detail I wanted you to see here is that the Lord Jesus looks at Peter in verse number 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow, that adds a whole lot to the narrative, doesn't it? Matthew doesn't share that with us, but Luke does, and that's why we have the synoptic gospels, because each of the synoptists sees all of the things that the Lord Jesus said and did from a different point of view. And so now Luke is showing the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now Peter has denied him, and the Lord looks upon Peter. And before you start feeling too sorry for Peter in John chapter 21, think of how the Lord must have felt. Peter's denied him in his very presence. It was done openly and in front of everybody. And so you can see now why it is that Peter's being challenged in John chapter 21. Let's go back there. And the thing we want to understand now is that John is present. He sees and hears everything that happens. In verse number 7, we learn that therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John's favorite term for himself, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. So John is always the one that has the spiritual insight. It's John that first walks into the empty tomb, and he understands what took place. Peter takes a forensic glance at it and says, my, isn't it strange how all these clothing are laid out here? But John takes a look at it and says, he's risen from the dead. Well, here John, with his spiritual perception once again, he knows who that stranger on the shore is, and he says, it's the Lord. And so by the time now that they had dragged these fish up to the shore, they go up to where the Lord Jesus is, where the fire is kindled, and the fish are upon the fire. They're all present there, and they hear the same thing that the Lord says to Peter. That's going to be instructive. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. It's not likely John's going to forget this. First John chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse number 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Isn't that interesting? It's in a different order here. But it's the exact same thing that we looked at in Peter's threefold denial and threefold restitution. It's the same thing for the feeding of the sheep. Now, John is a disciple too. He also goes about teaching the children of Israel the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he separates his hearers into three groups here. In the beginning, in verse number 13, he says, I write unto you fathers, you mature believers, who also need to be led by the Holy Spirit, because you have known him that is from the beginning. This is a deeper knowledge. They understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead who in the book of Genesis speaks the words, light be. They have a deeper understanding of who he is. And then he goes on to say, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, young men. He's speaking to growing believers here who, through their experience of walking in the Spirit, understand what it is to overcome the wicked one. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So these young men have grown spiritually to know how to walk in the Spirit and how to deal with the father of lies. And then lastly, he says, I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. You little children, you new believers, you know the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an understanding of what your redemption is all about. That it's the Father that sends forth the Son. The Son dies on the cross. The Holy Spirit then draws the human race unto the finished work of Christ. And it's all at the behest of the Father. And so these young children here get an understanding of who they are. It underscores their redemption. They become sure of it. They become positive of it. The first step in Christian growth. After that, we start to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And then finally, as the teaching of the Holy Spirit goes on, using the Word of God, we begin to mature into all of what Jesus is and who he is. And that's what the book of John is, particularly. It's separate from the Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptics deal with what Jesus did and said. But the book of John brings us into close personal contact with Jesus himself. And so this is a wonderful thing. Our time is gone. Let's pray.